This past week, I've been reading out of the book of Acts, and I've been reading some passages that I believe are very relevant for this moment right now. And it has to do with Paul. Stay with me, guys. Y'all slowing down, okay? I just had this pulse, this internal metronome on the inside, and it's like everything has to be just right, okay? Hallelujah. So don't you slow down unless you need to. Stay right with me. It's in Acts, the 20th chapter. And this is a passage we've read, but I need you to see how it's walked out to help you recognize that some of you are right in the midst of your destiny. You just need to recognize the price you're having to pay for the fulfillment of that destiny. So we've read this passage before, and it's in Acts, the 20th chapter, starting at verse 22, and it says this: "And now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of an account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." When Paul shared that, he recognized that he was going to have to go on a journey, and it was not going to be easy. He knew that he was going to be challenged. And so, let me see here. So that's in 21. In 22, and I want to paraphrase this now to kind of help us move along. But here's how this plays out. I want to try my other mic now if I can. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, that's good. So you got to get how this plays out. Paul is on this assignment, and while on the assignment, the only way he is going to make it is he's going to have to be arrested. So Paul gets arrested. He goes before the court. Now, this is the beginning of the journey that he just talked about. And when he stands before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he begins to share of the gospel. And right in the midst of his sharing, because you do know that the word of God can cut you. Yeah, it says that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut it. It performs surgeries, if you will. And so while he is sharing the gospel, one of the men get offended. And those that are standing next to Paul, they say to him, "Smack him in the mouth." Now you got to get this. You can read it now, but I don't want to read all of it. I'm just trying to tell you. He's talking, Kevin. And the magistrate says, "Smack him in the mouth." And they, pow, hit him in the mouth. Paul, I just believe if it had been some of us, we might have stopped talking right about then. But Paul didn't stop talking. Because he knows he's on an assignment. And he must fulfill destiny. And so he keeps talking. But what Paul does is he looks out over the crowd and he recognizes that he's amongst some of the same people that he was once a part of. He's amongst the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul is talking about the resurrection. He's talking about the works that Jesus did. The Sadducees didn't believe in anything like that, but the Pharisees believed in all of it. They just didn't talk about it. And so when he says to them, he says, you smack me in the mouth, but I'm one of you. I'm a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin. And when they say, wait a minute, he's one of us. So then the Pharisees start arguing with the Sadducees. Paul's no longer the issue. But Paul recognizes he's on an assignment. And so there were those who amongst themselves made a vow amongst themselves. They were so heated with what Paul said that they said, we will not eat any food. We took a vow, we will not eat until Paul is dead. We will not eat one morsel of food till Paul is dead. Now, this is some of the backdrop. So, you know, some guys either reneged on that vow or they just died because that wasn't happening. In the backdrop, hear me now, in the backdrop is the supernatural movings of God. The same supernatural movings that are happening in your life, you simply need to know it and to know where you are, whose you are, and your assignment. At any moment, Paul could have just said, I'm done. This is too hard. But looking at every one of them, he kept saying, you can't stop me. You can't stop me. You can't stop me. For some of you this morning, you need to be able to look at your situation and say, you can't stop me. You won't stop me. You need to look at physical challenges you may be dealing with and say, you won't stop me. You can't stop me. You need to be able to look at your finances that may not be right where you need them to be and say, you can't stop me. You won't stop me from fulfilling what God has called me to do. It's not based on what I have. It's based off of what he has and what I have through him. So Paul now has a hit out on him. But then a word comes to Paul in Acts 23. Paul is in the midst now of recognizing they want to kill me. And this is the word that comes to him. 23, verse 11. But on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage. For as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome. So you must witness at Rome. Say assignment. Come on, say assignment. An appointment with destiny. He has an appointment with destiny. One of the things that I want to encourage us by is that over the course of your life, you will have many assignments. You will have many, many appointments with destiny. And the more you're able to hone in on those things, you will be able to stay focused and not allow yourself to be distracted or stopped by the things that are going on around you that don't seem to add up to what God has said for you and said to you. Paul understood this. And so when the word came to him, it solidified his future. I want to tell you this, that there are times God will bring a word to you to recalibrate your present, in order to establish your future. He will bring a word to you to recalibrate your present so that it sets you on course for your future. I'm going to say it one more time. God will bring a word to you to recalibrate your present. Now I'm talking about your present perception, your present mindset. In order to establish your future. That's what he's doing with Paul. And every now and then, what God will do is to keep us moving and to keep us focused. He'll keep bringing a word to us. He'll bring another word to us. Recalibrating words. So word comes that assassinate. They're going to murder Paul. But this is how it begins to play out. And I want to read this just so that you can get a sense of how God moves behind the scenes and how he is moving behind the scenes in your life and in mine. This is what it says. And when it was day, the Jews, I'm at verse 12, 23, verse 12. And when it was day, the Jews conformed a conspiracy and bond themselves under an oath. This is it. Saying that they would not eat or drink until Paul is killed, till they had killed Paul. Now look at this. And there were more than 40 who formed this plot. So that's 40 guys that have lost their minds, thinking that they're going to stop this. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a solemn oath to taste nothing until we have killed Paul. Now, therefore, you, the council, notify the commander to bring him down to you, as though you were going to determine his case by a more thorough investigation. And we, for our part, are ready to slay him before he comes near the place. Hear me. It doesn't matter what the enemy is conspiring against you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter what the enemy is conspiring against you. Sometimes we get so focused on what's happening or what we think is happening that we don't stay focused on the assignment. We don't stay focused on the appointment with destiny. And I'm convinced of this, that life has a way of getting us so involved in things that are not God that they move us in a place that we miss the moment of opportunity.
Yes, sir.
But what we see here in this passage is this. Even while they're conspiring against him, God still is working his plan, because it goes on and it says this. But the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush, and he came and entered the barracks and told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, lead this young man to the commander, for he has something to report. So he went and he told and he shared what the plot was. It says the Jews have agreed to kill him. And it goes on and it says this. Verse 23. It says, and when he called to him two of the centurions and said, get 200 soldiers ready by the third hour of the night to proceed to Caesarea with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen. They were also to provide mounts to put Paul on and bring him safely to Felix, the governor. So even though the plot was set up to kill him, God, through his nephew, got him out. And they brought him to Felix. Now, he's on his journey. He's on an assignment. But here's what I want you to see as well. All of his journey was as a prisoner. All of his journey was as a prisoner. And he comes before Felix, and he testifies before Felix, and Felix is intrigued, but nobody's really getting saved. And eventually, listen to this, eventually they conclude Paul has done nothing wrong. But Paul, hear me now, but Paul had appealed to Rome. Paul had appealed to Rome. Why? Because Paul knew that's where I'm really supposed to go. That's the destination. That's my destiny. And there's this moment where we're Agrippa, where we're Felix, where they all say, you know, There's no reason for us to keep him any longer. We could set him free, except that he has appealed to Rome. Is this making sense to you? He could walk away anytime,
yes, sir.
But he's choosing to stay in the midst of that situation. Now I'm back to the situation you and I may find ourselves in. And we're saying, God, get us out, get us out, get us out. And the devil's really hoping you get out soon, too, because we don't recognize what God is doing to him through us in the process. And Paul says, I want to go to Rome. I'm supposed to appear in Rome. And so what they do is they put him back in chains and they put him on the boat headed to his assignment. See, this is the attitude that I believe God wants you and I to have in this season. In order for him to accomplish what he wants to do in us in this season and through us in this season. As mature believers, we recognize this is part of the journey. This is part of the process to fulfill purpose and destiny. And the way that you stay there is by maintaining a place of intimacy with God. By maintaining a place of worship in God. That you're able to set aside time that allows you to get recalibrated and get refocused. To get refocused. Sometimes the best thing that you and I can do in the midst of all the upheaval is to get somewhere and get still.
Yes. Yes.
And wait for God to bring you the next word that keeps you in that place of focus. See, Paul recognized this because he'd already gotten a word. I'm on an assignment. I don't know the details of the assignment except that it's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. He said, but it doesn't matter with me because I'm committed to seeing this thing through to the end. So when you read the rest of that, what you find is Paul's on the ship. Paul tried to tell him, hey, this ain't the best time to be sailing, but they didn't listen. So they get on the ship and they're sailing and it gets real bad. And in the midst of it getting real bad, everybody is fearful. Everybody is fearful. And can I tell you this? Times of anxiousness, times of anxiety don't necessarily mean a lack of faith. It just means you need to get back in the place to get recalibrated in that place of faith. So they put Paul on the ship to go to Rome. Now he's on assignment. Everything's going just the way God wants it to go. Maybe not quite the way Paul wants it to go, but Paul says it doesn't matter. Paul is a prisoner. He's a prisoner fulfilling his assignment. And then in the midst of the storm that looked like it's going to take him out, this is what Paul says. I'm in Acts 27, verse 21. And when they had gone a long way without food, then Paul stood up in the midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Now, how many of you just know that's not the best time to be telling somebody I told you so?
It really isn't. But nevertheless, he had to get that out of his system. Then he says this. And yet I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. I urge you to keep up your courage. I urge you to keep up your courage. Saints, I urge you to keep up your courage. I urge you to keep up your courage. I urge you to keep up your courage. I know it looks crazy. I know it can look like it's just about to go a totally different way. I urge you to keep up your courage. When God spoke to Joshua and said, this is how you're going to get it done, son. Be strong and be courageous. Meditate on my word night and day. Do not let it depart from your mouth. I want to tell you, a steady diet of God's word, a steady practice of being in his presence will get you through anytime, every time, no matter what the situation is. A steady diet in God's word, a steady practice of being in his presence, a steady discipline of worshiping him will get you through everything and anything that you face. I urge you to keep up your courage. Courage, courage, the attitude of facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, or painful, or different, instead of withdrawing from it. Can I tell you that some of us, sometimes when things just hit the way they do, it's like the enemy wants to, he really wants to just get the life out of us, to cause us just to relent on that thing so that we never see the fulfillment of all that God has intended. Paul lived his life in a way. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This was Paul's right. This was Paul speaking. This is Paul's words. And so we see it being walked out here. We see it being walked out. I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall not be loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood before me. I love that, because it says right in the moment when he needed it most, God sent a word to shore him up. And I'm speaking to us right now prophetically, because God is speaking words to us in order to shore us up. Even in the midst of stormy situations, even in the midst of some of the challenging situations. That's why I want to encourage you to go back. And if you've received words from God, you need to be able to look at those words again. You need to get still so that you can hear from God again. I asked Pastor Deborah to put in the bulletin the word that was spoken. That God had given her concerning us. It's a word on the church. It's a word for us to arise. The word was given July 9th. We're at the end of the month. It says, you have endured the winter season and have accomplished, and it has accomplished in you what the winter is designed to do. It has allowed some things that no longer serve you to die. You have endured the rainy season, and the rains have accomplished what they are sent forth to do. New life is springing forth. New life is springing forth. Do not allow the harshness of the winter to cause you to miss this moment. The season has changed. The season has changed. The season has changed. I'm prophesying now. Your season has changed. Your season has changed. Come on, say, my season has changed. My season has changed. So I'm learning to not just rush right past words as God's bringing them to us. That we hear it. Oh, that's a good word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, what's next? Anybody else got a word? 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 Better than the word we just heard. Better than the word we just heard. Better than... Now, we don't say that. But, you know, it's kind of where, you know... My season has changed. My season has changed. My season has changed. My struggle is over. The pain is over. The heartache is over. The disappointment is over. The loss is over. My season has changed. My season has changed. My season has changed. Lack is over. My season has changed. Barrenness is over. My season has changed. My season has changed. You got to say it. I can't say it for you. You got it. My season has changed. 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 And now I am calling you to arise. I am calling you to a higher place. A higher place in me. A higher place in the kingdom. A higher place in your sphere of influence. Don't miss this moment. There is change in the air. Arise. I've been trying to deliver this word now for the last 2 weeks. You have an appointment with destiny. Don't miss it. And don't be late. You have an appointment with destiny. Don't miss it. Don't be late. Can I tell you that sometimes when God brings a prophetic word, it's the alarm clock. It's the thing that's set, that God sends to set and let you know it's time now. It's time now. It's time now. It's time now. God has a way of bringing his word to us to let us know it's time now. It's time now. It's time now. God sets an appointment. God sets an appointed time and he keeps it. God sets an appointed time and he keeps it. One of the ways that, Eric, I need you to pick it up a little bit for me. Pick it up for me a little bit. Come on. Major. Some of the times we hear a word and we're going along and the things happen and it's kind of like, how many of you got electronic device, smartphone, iPad, whatever it is, tablet that you use, you know, you set dates in it. Come on. Yeah, yeah. And how many of you set the date or you get it, but you also set it to alarm to let you know ahead of time? How many of y'all do that? Okay. And how many of y'all remember back in the day? Because you know what? We didn't always have these smartphones and these computers and these tablets. But how many used to carry around the Franklin planners? You know, I mean, see, if you were serious about, you know, anything, you had a Franklin planner. You know, if you were serious about keeping any kind of, you know, if you just wanted to look professional, you had one and didn't write anything in it. You just didn't open it so nobody knew. You didn't really have any appointments. But there was the Franklin planner, and if you really had it, you had the Franklin planner and the pen and all the whole little kit together, and you would write in it, and every day, though, but in order for you to stay on point, every day you'd have to look at it. Beginning of every week, you would look at it, okay? And you'd kind of see what your week looked like. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. We had those kind of things. Well, now we've moved past that. Now we've got the iPad, we got the iPhone, we got all kind of devices now, and we get the date, we put it in, and we say, alert me an hour before, or 2 hours before, the day before, or 30 minutes before, whatever it is. And that alarm comes on to let us know it's about that time. It comes on. It's about that time. It's about that time. And I want to tell you that right now, that's the season we're in. See, Paul, while he's in that boat, it looks like it's about to go bad for everybody. But God sends a word. It's like an alarm to let him know, no, you're still on course. You're still on time. It's going to work out. But when God brings the word to him, those around him don't know that it's impacting them as well. So going back there to 27 verse 22, it says, "And yet now I urge you to keep your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood before me and gave me a word." And said, "Do not be afraid, Paul." See, he's addressing something that he knows to be a reality for Paul, just as it's often a reality for you and I. And that is, we can be great people of faith, but in any given moment, we can be shook by something that comes out of nowhere. But what we've got to recognize is, even though I didn't know this was coming, my daddy knew it was coming. And so whatever's going on right now, I just need to pause. I need to step back. I need to find that place of worship. I need to find that place of rest. And the same question I've asked for over 20 years now, I still ask, Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? He says to Paul, don't be afraid, Paul. I know you're getting anxious just like the rest of these guys, because this looks like it's about to go down. I'm saying to some of you right now, you're on an appointment with destiny. All of your life has brought you to this time. And God would. Sometimes I just feel like I live in another space. And maybe I'd like to believe it's kingdom. But I just believe every believer ought to have a sense of purpose and destiny. Some of you are alive right now because you have a sense of purpose and destiny. And you said, my time is not up. I'm not done. Oh! And the very thing that has kept you alive is an unfulfilled word, an unfulfilled vision, something you saw when you were a child that life tried to snuff out. But later on in life, God rewrote that thing again, brought it back to you and said, what I said to you back then, I know life tried to take it away from you, tried to steal it, but that's who I called you to be. And you're fulfilling that purpose. You're fulfilling that destiny. And the enemy, while he has tried to take you out, you said, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. See, it's like the angel came to Paul and said, we're not done yet. You can't be stopped. You can't be stopped. You can't be stopped. You can't be stopped. For this very night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, he's identifying with it now, stood before me saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage. Says, men, for I believe God. I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. I believe God that it will turn out exactly like he has said. Yes. I believe God. Yes. I believe God, James. I believe God. I believe God. And so, what is it you're destined for in this moment? That the Father is saying, arise, wake up, get up. Things have changed. It's not the same. Press into that now. God sets an appointment. He sets an appointed time. And he always keeps it. He always keeps it. And in the backdrop of human history, of mankind, he is orchestrating in order to bring it to pass. In the book of Joshua, Joshua 15, God makes a covenant with Abraham. He tells Abraham, he says, but your descendants will be in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. But at that end of that time, I will bring them out. And when they come out, I'm going to bring them out wealthy. 400 years. Say 400 years. But when God sets an appointment, he keeps it. So you fast forward to a child being born. At a time when babies were being slaughtered. Saved and put in a basket and put into water. only to be found by Pharaoh's daughter. His name is Moses. And at the appointed time, after Moses has been raised up, because you see, I'm wanting to remind you of appointed times. Appointed times. It's in Galatians, the 4th chapter. We've read this numerous times. Now I say, as long as an heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but is under guardians and managers until the date set, the appointed time by the Father. I'm speaking to some of you. You are in the midst of your appointed time. What you're hearing now, the prophetic words you're hearing now, the stirring now, is your alarm clock. It's your reminder that that which God said he was going to do, he is now doing it. He is now doing it. He is now doing it. Some of us need to say, Father, help me to see what you're doing. 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 So Moses is raised up to be a leader, only to be placed on the backside of the desert and then called of God to bring the people out. And just as God had said, he brought them out exactly 400 years later. He brought them out 400 years later. God sets an appointment and he keeps it. We are in times now of divine appointments. And just as God moved to bring Paul before Caesar, so God is moving in your life and mine to bring us to those appointed times of purpose and destiny.